We're in the series that we are wrapping up today, dealing with getting over it and releasing resentment and learning how to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally. It's something that we have to constantly learn. In fact, what we do with this forgiveness issue is we put ourselves in the tension of it, and we put ourselves in this place where we're forced to learn to forgive. Because it's real easy to walk away when somebody offends us, when somebody does us wrong, when somebody does all these things. It's real easy to turn away from them, to walk away from them and leave them. And yet that's not what the scripture calls us to do. We've talked about this, and that is that forgiveness is not natural, it's spiritual. And so the spiritual response is to learn to forgive. And you know what? You're not going to have it perfect. But you're going to learn. It's going to be something that you put yourself into every single day. We've looked at learning to overlook small and large offenses. Last week, we talked about forgiving God. Not that God does us wrong, but that sometimes we hold a grudge against God because he doesn't do what we think he should do, or maybe he allowed something that we didn't want to be allowed to happen. The longer we hold on to these issues, the more our lives become bitter and bound. And then there's a destruction that happens out of this. So as we wrap up this series, today is probably the hardest one we're going to have to deal with, but it's probably also the most important one we need to deal with, and that's forgiving yourself. How do you forgive yourself when you have let yourself down, or when you've let God down, or you've let other people down? You've done something in your life, possibly, that you carry guilt and shame, and it just sticks with you. And maybe it sticks with you for years. It's almost a weight that you carry around your neck. You might want to write this down. It's the first fill-in on your notes if you want to write it down. Forgiveness doesn't change the past. It changes your future. Forgiveness doesn't change your past. It changes your future. And here's the thing. Without forgiveness, your future is going to be tied to your past. If you want a future that is free of guilt and shame, it's only possible through forgiveness. It doesn't just go away over time. This is a subject that is really, forgiveness is important in every level, but especially when we're losing guilt and shame about forgiving ourselves, this is a huge issue that we need to deal with. As I said, a lot of people carry guilt and shame from their past, and they're desperately longing for God's forgiveness, but the truth is that they're not even able to forgive themselves. And this becomes a real messy subject. So as we get into this, let me address something I think is really important as we start talking about this guilt and shame issue. And that is this: not all guilt is the same. First of all, you have false guilt. And false guilt is carrying something that is not your fault, but you carry it. It's something that's happened in your life that you just go, you know what, this is something that's really marked your life. I mean, it could be like your parents divorced and you feel like I should have done something to prevent that. Or I was sexually molested or abused, and somehow I feel like it's my fault. Or I have a friend who took his life, and I wasn't there for them like I feel like I should have been. And we carry this stuff, and it's not really our fault. The problem is false guilt is always destructive. It's always dangerous. But you have to remember, false guilt is not yours to carry. And we have to deal with it. You have to deal with it, because it doesn't just go away. Another guilt issue is there's good guilt, and that might surprise you that I would even say that there is a good guilt, but scripture describes it this way. It says, for the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret from that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. And this is the good guilt is a sense of feeling conviction. In other words, when you do something that you shouldn't do, you naturally feel bad about it. You feel guilty because the truth is you are guilty. You've done something you shouldn't do, but it's not a guilt that destroys you. It's a guilt that pulls you closer to God. It's a guilt that ties you to God. It says, I need God in my life. So what that kind of guilt does is it keeps you on the right path, and it's helpful. The other kind of guilt is really what we're going to be talking about today in this talk, and that's bad guilt. And that's when there's something in our life, guilt or shame, that we've allowed, and it's attached itself to us, and it begins to define who we are as people. The devil uses this kind of guilt to get you to believe that you're pathetic, you're worthless, you're hopeless, and that you're a failure. That what you have done whatever the sin is, whatever the wrong is that you've done to somebody else, whatever it is that you've done in your life, that somehow defines who you are. And so what happens is you start believing God will never bless you because of what you did. You'll never be happy because of this or that that you've done. You'll never have a good marriage because of what you have done. And so we start looking at our pain is actually punishment for who we are. That becomes this weight that will destroy you. See, bad guilt sets in when we believe that what we've done defines who we are. And we start telling ourselves that we're defective, that we're damaged and broken, and that we're the problem. See, here's the thing. Satan uses this kind of shame and guilt against us. And on a fill-in in your notes, if you want to write it down, Satan wants to use your guilt to drive you away from God, to convince you, again, that you're not good enough, that you're defined by your sin, that what you've done is too great to forgive, and now it's a part of your character, and it just drives you away from God. The other thing is God wants to use your guilt to draw you to his grace. Remember, grace is receiving what we don't deserve, and God wants the guilt that we have to draw us to him because we need forgiveness and we need to experience his grace. We need to experience the forgiveness that we don't deserve. So as we dive into this issue of forgiving ourselves, this is a really important point that we've got to understand, I think, and that is this. You are unqualified to forgive yourself. As we look at this issue of forgiving ourselves, you are unqualified to forgive yourself. In other words, we cannot just declare ourselves not guilty just because we want to be not guilty. Just because we're tired of carrying around this weight, we're tired of carrying around this baggage that we've carried along for a long time, because we're done with it, we can't pronounce ourselves innocent. That's not our place. It's nobody's place. I see this more and more, and I bet you do too. It's real popular in our culture when it comes to this area of forgiving ourselves. And that is, it's a wrong way to pursue forgiveness. And that is, first of all, we want forgiveness without acknowledging guilt. You ever been around somebody that's like that? We want forgiveness, but we don't want to come out and say, hey, we did something wrong or we're guilty. We don't want to admit that we were wrong. And I'm telling you, the reason a lot of people still carry around this guilt and shame is because they are guilty. They've never come clean with what they've done. There's a big difference between saying, you know what, I'm sorry that I might have hurt you, and coming out and saying, I'm sorry that I hurt you. It's a big difference. Because one clouds itself, and it kind of creates this smoke and mirrors that I didn't really do what you said. But if I did, then I'm terribly sorry. It takes courage, whether it's a person or whether it's God. Another thing that's popular in our culture when it comes to forgiveness is we want forgiveness without repentance. It's more than just admitting that we're guilty. It's about being sorrowful for what we've done and saying that we're sorry for what we've done. In Psalms, it says this. He says, if I confess my sins, he says, I am deeply sorry for what I have done. Because here's the thing, sorrow, repentance allows us to feel and to acknowledge the implications and consequences of our actions towards God and others. It's having real remorse of what we've done, whether it was intentional or accidental. It's not flippant with it. It is saying, you know what, I take this very seriously. And that leads us to the next point that we see in our culture today, and that's we want forgiveness without responsibility. See, if we're going to forgive ourselves, then we have to take responsibility for what we have done. See, in our culture, a lot of people say, I may have wronged you, no admission of guilt. But if I did, you probably need to get over it. If I hurt you, you probably need to get over it because I didn't mean to. See, when we've wronged someone, we have a responsibility to them to not just admit our guilt, but to ask for forgiveness. And you see, this next point I think is really important. The forgiveness that we need is something we must ask for. I don't think a lot of people realize that. I don't think a lot of people acknowledge that. The forgiveness that you need, it's not about forgiving yourself. The forgiveness that you need, it's something you need to ask for. And the first thing we'd have to do is we have to ask God for forgiveness. When we sin against anyone, we're sinning against God. And if we want forgiveness from God, then we've got to ask for it. Scripture in 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess, if we acknowledge, if we repent of our sin, that he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we ask, we can't just say, oh, you know, God knows and so it's okay. We have to acknowledge that we're guilty. We have to take responsibility. Sometimes I wonder if we really appreciate and value God's forgiveness, because the truth is our sin does not deserve to be forgiven. I know that we know that God is a forgiving God, so we kind of are presumptuous about it. But when we become presumptuous about God's mercy and love, we start believing that we're entitled to it. And so we no longer ask for it. We just feel like it's something that should be given to us. But the problem is we're not just given forgiveness if we don't ask and come clean with God. See, the danger that happens is we end up carrying it, and then as we carry it, it becomes destructive in our lives. Psalms 32 tells us this. It says, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me, and my strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all of my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I must confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all of my guilt is gone. See, the issue is, I think sometimes we just assume that God's all-knowing and God will take care of it, but we never are really coming clean. So we create this masquerade show with God and with other people. We also don't need to just ask God for forgiveness. We also need to ask those we've wronged for forgiveness. This is something that is, I mean, Matthew 18 talks about this, but we'll look at another scripture here too. But this is something that people just don't do anymore, that when we wrong somebody, we just think, okay, well, then what I need to do is I just need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. God will take care of it. Then I won't feel guilty. I won't be wrong. The truth is, that's not true. If you've done something to somebody, then you have to go to them and ask for forgiveness. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5. He said, so if you're standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God, or giving an offering is what it's other translated, and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, that somebody has something against you for what you've done. It says, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar and go and apologize and be reconciled to him, and then come and offer your sacrifices to God. So in other words, if you have done something to somebody, this is a very spiritual issue. You've got to go to them and you've got to ask for forgiveness right away. It's not something that you wait on. Forgiving ourselves is not a self-declaration or a self-proclamation that we're innocent. Forgiving ourselves is based on accepting God's forgiveness. We've got to understand that if you're going to experience forgiveness for yourself, it's based on accepting God's forgiveness. And it's one thing to ask for forgiveness, but it's another thing that we need to accept God's forgiveness. We'll never be guilt-free without accepting the forgiveness that God already offers to us. 1 John 1 says that if we say that we have not sinned, we're fooling ourselves and the truth is not in our hearts. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins to God, he is always to be trusted to forgive us and to take away our sins. We have to be willing to accept God's forgiveness. What is the difference between Judas and Peter's sin? Nothing. They both denied Christ. There is no difference between the sin of Judas and Peter. The problem is that Judas had this worldly sorrow, and he got caught, and he was embarrassed, and he felt ashamed, and he saw himself as a traitor, and so he went out and he took his life, because that's what worldly sorrow does. That's what guilt and shame leads us to do. It leads us to death. But Peter, he had a godly sorrow. He was wrong and he knew it, but he was sorry about it and he went to make things right. He repented and he asked Christ to forgive him, and he experienced that forgiveness, and it rebuilt his life rather than destroyed his life. So also in forgiving others, it's not just based on accepting this forgiveness from God. That's the first step. But it's also forgiving ourselves is based on righting our wrongs when we have the means to do so. Again, another issue that we really don't see in our world today. I say when we have the means to do so because people pass away. We're unable to locate people that we've wronged in our past. And sometimes we ask people to forgive us and they are unwilling to forgive us. So we are responsible for what we can do. If we ask and people refuse to forgive us, then we can still rest in God's forgiveness that we are forgiven, and you can live guilt-free and shame-free because we've done all that we can do. But when we've wronged somebody, we need to right those wrongs when we can. In the Old Testament, great scripture out of Numbers, it says this: if any of the people, men or women, betray the Lord by doing wrong to another person, they are guilty and they must confess their sin and make full restitution for what they have done. Not a popular subject. But listen, if you're going to free yourself from guilt and shame, then that means you're going to come clean. It ties us back to this idea of taking responsibility. We don't just ask God to forgive us. We've got to. True remorse leads us to go to the person, to resolve what we have done, to restore what we can. It's like this: if I kill somebody and nobody knows that I've done it, I'm going to carry guilt and shame. And I will carry it until I come clean, until I get to the place where I'm willing to pay for what I've done. But a lot of times what we do is we don't want to come clean because we don't want to pay for what we've done. We just want it to be swept away under the rug. The problem is it might get swept under the rug, but there's going to be a lump in your life that you'll never forget. It will be guilt and shame that you'll carry with you. True repentance is willing to come clean and ask for forgiveness, righting our wrongs when we have the ability to. And again, we can still experience a life free of guilt and shame, even if others don't forgive us, as long as we're doing what God has asked of us. So what happens if we don't learn to seek and accept forgiveness from God and others? First thing I think we do is we bury it. We try to hide it. In Proverbs it says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. I just think a lot of times that's what we do. If rather than coming clean or accepting forgiveness from God and others, what we do is we just bury it and hope that it'll go away. The problem is it doesn't. The other thing we do is we blame others because we don't take responsibility like true repentance does. We don't acknowledge our guilt, so what we do is we just blame somebody else for why we did what we did. Another thing we do is we will continue, and this isn't something we do externally probably as much as we do internally, and that is we beat ourselves up. We buy into the lie that we are the problem, that we're not good enough, and it's just who I am, you know, and we allow what we've done to define who we are. And that's always going to be guilt and shame attached to that. And the other part that happens is we also believe that, you know what, I can't change and I never will change because we're defined by our wrongs. I think this is an important feeling as well. Accepting forgiveness doesn't change what you've done. It changes who you are. That's an important point because I think we realize we can't change the past. But the truth is that you can change who you are. Because it changes your identity. When you refuse to ask for forgiveness, then you're tied to your past, and you see yourself as a cheater, a liar, an adulterer. Whatever it is that you've done, the wrong that you've committed becomes attached to you, and you will be chained to that until you accept forgiveness from God and from others. And when you accept forgiveness from God, all of a sudden you become a child of God. Now you're forgiven. Now you're no longer attached to your sin. You're free from your past. See, when we accept God's forgiveness, we lose the shame. So what does it look like to accept God's forgiveness? Really quick, we accept God's love. That's really important. If you're going to accept God's forgiveness, then you've got to accept the fact that God loves you. And the problem that we have is when we are defined by the wrongs and we don't see that we deserve to be forgiven, it's really difficult, not just for us to love ourselves, but it's difficult for us to admit that God could love us. The truth is even in your guilt and in your shame, God sees you as lovable. Ephesians 1:4 says, long ago, even before he had made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. That's you. When we come to God and accept his forgiveness, you're covered with his love. You are lovable. We also, when we accept God's forgiveness, we accept God's word. And what I mean by that is we accept that God is who he says he is. We accept that God does what he says he will do. It gives us confidence and assurance when we're tempted to believe that we are the scum of the earth, when we don't have any value to others or this world. When we look at ourselves as worthless and failures, I need to accept what God says and what God says he will do. Isaiah 43 says, God says, I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. He says, I will not hold your sins against you. And listen, that can just easily just blow by. The truth is you've got to understand, whatever the sin is that you carry, whatever the wrong is that you carry, God says that he will not hold your sins against you. You either accept that or you don't. You either hold on to that or you don't. And if you're going to accept God's forgiveness, you've got to hold on to that. You've got to say, okay, this is what God said. If I ask for forgiveness, that he will forgive me completely. When we accept God's forgiveness, we also accept God's pardon. The penalty for your sins has already been paid for. You've already been pardoned. That's what Jesus did on the cross when he died for our sins. His death pardoned you and all the wrongs that you had done. Now, you still have to ask. You still have to accept his forgiveness. Just because he died for your sins doesn't mean anything if you don't accept his death as pardoning your sin. I just want to read you a few scriptures just to remind you of how when we accept God's forgiveness, we accept his pardon. Romans 8:1 says, so those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty anymore. God says, in Isaiah, he says, I will not hold your sins against you. In Psalms 103, he has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. In Hebrews, he says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sin. Man, that's a clean slate. That's a new beginning. Because here's the truth. God loves you. He has declared you not guilty. It's like the woman caught in adultery with Jesus. She knew what she deserved. She knew that she was guilty. Jesus told her and told all the people that were there to stone her so she would pay the penalty for her sin. Jesus says, he that is without sin cast the first stone, and they all walked away. And Jesus says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that your heavenly Father is looking at you and he's waiting on you to come to him. His arms are open wide. He has already pardoned you. But you've got to accept it. You've got to come to him and accept what he's offering. Truth is that we desperately need God. Forgiveness brings us to that place where we realize just how much we need him, that we need forgiveness. But here's the thing, accepting God happened because we deserve it. We accept God's forgiveness because it's a gift. It's a free gift to you. Not because you deserve it, not because you earned it, not because you're good enough, not because you've come to church enough times. It is a free gift to you. It's a gift you don't deserve, but you must have. And all you have to do is accept it. I don't know if you remember a story of the Israelites. Those are God's people, and they were in slavery to Egypt for 430 years. It's a long time. And the longer you've been imprisoned, and when you've been in prison that long, it changes who you are. It changes your identity. And what happens is you start seeing yourself differently. You start looking down upon yourself. You carry a lot of guilt, not because maybe you've done anything, but you see yourself as less than somebody that's free. You see yourself as, I must have done something that I deserve to be here because I'm not good enough to be free like other people are. Your future doesn't look very promising because you're still bound. And then all of a sudden, God brings Moses into the story and he releases people from captivity. Here's the problem. God brought them out of Egypt, but the shame of Egypt wasn't out of them. And they carried that shame and they carried that guilt. And I love what God says to Joshua. Joshua 5:9, he says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. God says, you know what? I see the shame that you're carrying. It's not designed for you to carry. No more shame. Someone in your life might have said, shame on you. Somebody might have called you out on something and embarrassed you. And today God says, I've removed the shame. I've removed the guilt. It's not yours to carry. See, you are not your past. You are not what you did. You are not what others think you are. You are not who you think you are. You are who Christ says you are. That's what it means when we hold on to God's word. So that means you're free. It means you're forgiven. It means you're changed. It means you're healed and blessed and forgiven. Chosen, accepted. You're a child of God. You belong to God. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. An important question I think that we need to ask is when you look in the mirror, are you at peace with that person or is there guilt? Is there shame? Is there a need to accept forgiveness? Is there a need to go and ask for forgiveness? Is there a need to right your wrongs? To go to someone and say, I'm guilty and I'm really sorry and I need you to forgive me. Do you need to accept God's forgiveness that he's already offered to you? Because if God is willing to forgive you, then you can accept what he's willing to give you. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for us. And I just want, as we learn to forgive, I'm not saying that this happens just overnight, but I'm saying that you can put yourself in a place where you accept God's forgiveness and seek forgiveness from others. And you can live guilt and shame free because that's how God wants you to live. Father, we come to you today and you know our hearts and you know our lives and you know what we carry, and you know the shame, the things that we did, maybe it wasn't even intentional. Something that we're just even afraid to even admit. We're embarrassed to admit. Father, give us the courage to seek out the people that we might right our wrongs, that we might go to people and ask for forgiveness, that we truly might and take responsibility. Father, may we do what we can, and at the same time, Father, may we accept the forgiveness that you've offered to us. May we ask for forgiveness. May we live in that repentive heart. May we live in that repentive tension where we're always seeking your forgiveness and always seeking to live and accepting your forgiveness. Father, I pray today for each person that's here and for those that want to begin a new life and to start off with a clean slate, that have never begun a relationship with you, that Father, they would come to you with a clean, they would come clean with you, acknowledging all the wrongs that they've done. Acknowledging that they have messed up and that they need your forgiveness. Father, may you give them a clean slate today. Father, for all of us, I ask that you would help us to see what you've called us to be, that we are not defined by our wrongs that we've committed, but we are defined by your grace, your mercy, and your love. And we accept that and hold that in our hearts. Thank you for forgiving us. May we live and choose to live in that forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just close your eyes for a moment with me, I want to lead us in prayer. And it's out of this worship time and this intimacy that we have with God that we come to God. And I just want to encourage you to, this is a great opportunity to bring, just unload your heart to God. He already knows what you're dealing with. He already knows what's weighing you down. He knows more than the struggle. He knows your life. And he wants to be your hope. He wants to give you strength, and he wants to give you joy, and he wants to give you peace that you need. This is the time to talk to him and to ask him. He knows all of the concerns and all the needs that you have going on in your life right now. And Father, it's from that place today that we come to you, and just first of all, grateful that you are a living hope. That no matter what circumstances say, no matter what doctors say, no matter what the signs around us say, Father, you are greater than all those things. And you are faithful and you are good always. You care about us. You know our needs. So, Father, we just come to you and ask that you would increase our faith, that you would give us strength. Father, that you would provide and that you would give us the courage that we need to do what you're leading us to do. And, Father, I just pray for comfort and peace in each of our lives that we need, because we need you. Father, we know that you're good and that you're leading us in your plan for our lives. And so, Father, give us the patience that we need. Father, give us the faith that we need to walk with you and trust you as we go. And Lord, today as we talk about this forgiveness issue, you know our hearts. You know it's not easy. We need you. We need your help, and we need you to walk alongside of us and to help us in this process. And so, Father, we are here today to listen with an open heart, for you to put your finger on things in our lives that you want to deal with. We give you that permission today. Father, may we walk out of here closer to you, with greater faith, and a greater connectedness, and a greater experience of your forgiveness in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask, and everybody said, amen.